We now present a brief history of electronic data processing. It reviews the technological and marketing developments that enabled you, your personal computer, and Integrated 7 to team up at this point in time. We hope you find our presentation interesting and informative. Human experience with the technology of data processing began when people first recorded numbers with notches in sticks. The well-known abacus was the primary calculating machine until the 17th century. At that time, teenaged mathematician Blaise Pascal invented a machine which could add and subtract. Pascal's machine was the first to apply the mathematical concept of carrying a number. Gottfried Leibniz, another mathematician of the 17th century, expanded Pascal's invention into a wheel capable of performing multiplication. The basic principles of Leibniz's machine were used in mechanical calculators into the 20th century. In the 1800s, English inventor Charles Babbage created two machines, the difference engine and the analytical engine. The difference engine had the fixed purpose of solving equations with two or more variables. The difference engine used some of the mechanisms of earlier calculators, such as cogs and wheels. It was to be much bigger and much more complicated than its predecessors, and would print results on paper. Due to mechanical limitations, however, the difference engine did not work. Babbage next expanded his design of the difference engine to attempt the analytical engine. His concept was to create a machine without a fixed purpose, that is, a machine that could be used for a number of tasks. The milestone of Babbage's design is that it included the five main components used in modern computers. The analytical engine had input devices, an arithmetical processor, a memory, a control unit, and output devices. The machine read information from cards punched with holes, an idea originated in France by Joseph Jacquard for controlling weaving looms. Babbage's analytical engine met the same sad fate as his difference engine, since the mechanical technology of that time was too imprecise to perform the necessary functions. Babbage's work, however, was documented by a young mathematician, Lady Lovelace, the daughter of Lord Byron. It is largely due to Lady Lovelace's documentation that Babbage's work is known today. The analytical engine, ignored in Babbage's own time, has earned him recognition in our century as the father of the computer. Lady Lovelace has also been honored. Her first name, Ada, was given to a modern computer language. Late in the 19th century, a man by the name of Herman Hollerith proposed a new method of performing the United States Census. His tabulating was done using punched cards, similar to those you have probably seen used by modern computers. Hollerith's method also used a new discovery called electricity. For the census of 1890, his plan was chosen because it promised to be much faster than other proposed methods. Hollerith went on to perform other censuses and to found the company that we now know as IBM. The first modern computers were produced in the 1930s and 1940s. The first designs of these computers were single-purpose machines with very limited application. Two of the scientists who performed independent explorations were Howard Aiken and Alan Turing. Between 1942 and 1946, the first multi-use computer was devised by John Mauchly and J. Presper Eckert at the Moore School of Engineering in Pennsylvania. The computer, called ENIAC, was to be used in the war effort. John von Neumann made a substantial contribution to the project by suggesting the computer itself be used to store the programs. This allowed programs within the computer to exchange information. The stored program concept is now used in all modern computers. Until the invention and use of transistors, computers used vacuum tubes for their circuitry. Vacuum tubes required a great amount of power, generated tremendous heat, and were generally unreliable. Because of these shortcomings, computers were used primarily in research and had limited business applications. When transistors replaced vacuum tubes, the true age of computers began. By the mid-1960s, the new computer technology had gained a dominant place in the business world. These computers, called mainframes, were large and still had many limitations. For example, all data had to be entered on punched cards. Since the machines still generated heat, they needed water cooling. Due to their complexities and size, these machines had to be in a central location and required a large, specially trained operational staff. In the early 1970s, an advancement called the silicon chip revolutionized the computer industry. The silicon chip, also known as the integrated circuit, replaced transistors. It allowed for more storage at lower cost. One result was the minicomputer, a smaller, more accessible computer than the mainframes of the 1960s. Minicomputers allowed online use. That is, a user could sit at a terminal and type instructions to the computer and receive responses. Minicomputers needed smaller operating staffs and required only air conditioning, not water cooling. Because of these improvements, use of computers was decentralized, with computers being located in various divisions of companies. The prices were also approximately one-tenth that of many mainframe computers. In the early 1980s, microcomputers provided the next revolution for the computer industry. What began as hobbyist build-it-yourself kits in the late 1970s were next marketed as already built computers for use by one person. Suddenly, computers appealed to an entirely new audience. People who had never before used computers saw the tremendous potential of using these personal computers in the home, school, and office. As marketed, personal computers did not require any prior computer experience, and some were even portable. All required no more than the space available on most desktops, and yet many had computing power equivalent to that of the large systems of the late 60s. These had a price range from $300 to $10,000, and they appealed to an entirely new audience. When software for personal computers was first introduced, the user purchased standalone programs for each desired application. For example, to be able to run a graphics application and a word processing application, the user had to buy two separate products. Each time the user wanted to change applications, work in progress had to be stopped and stored away, and then the next program had to be loaded into the computer, replacing the previous one. To go back to the first application, the process had to be repeated. As you can imagine, this could be very time-consuming and eventually aggravating. But now, there is an exciting trend toward integrated multifunction programs. Your software, Integrated 7, is representative of the trend. It gives you instant access to a number of different applications at one time and lets you exchange and share information among them easily. This is much more convenient than using standalone packages and greatly expands your capabilities. More convenience and expanded capabilities for you. That's the meaning of today's products and of the developments that are now on the horizon. With the introduction of Integrated 7, Mosaic Software has established itself as a major participant and your partner in the continuing adventure of personal computing. We wish you every success as you go on to use the powers of our products for the accomplishment of your objectives. Amazingly comprehensive, yet very, very easy to use. That's Integrated 7.